This is Reuven Levy. We're learning the book Gan HaShalom from Rav Shalom Arush. We are continuing our learning. We are in chapter 3, page 64. So before the break, we started this new chapter, chapter 3. And chapter 3 focuses on one topic. And that is to make your wife Makom Rishon, first place. We said before, it's worth mentioning it again, there's two halves to marriage. And this is the other half. The first half we learned was never to criticize. That's the negative, don't do it. I saw me right. And what's the aseh tov? What's the good bit, the positive? Put your wife first place. Those are the two, if you have those two things, never criticize and always put your wife first. You're as good as there. Tov, there's all the detail about how to do that. But in principle, that's what we need. So we're in the chapter which discusses how to do that. How to put our wife in first place. We started off by speaking about a couple that came to see Rav Shalom. The wife had a long list of complaints, all about her husband, that her husband didn't do all these different things, and really bad Shalom buying problems. The Rav said, so explain to me the first problem. She explained the first problem on the list, and the Rav said to the husband, you're not putting your wife in first place. He then turned to the wife and said, right, what's the next problem on your list? And she said, that's it. If he once my husband gets that first point that you just mentioned, the rest of the list is irrelevant, it's meaningless. Everything in this list has that at its root. If my husband puts me first place, the rest of the stuff is just going to disappear. It's not important, it's irrelevant. The wife's complaints against her husband all stem from that point. Why? As we're going to see in the chapter, putting the wife in first place means to give her respect and honor, kavod. Just like we saw that when a person criticizes his wife, chas v'shalom, he takes away that honor, that kavod from his wife. He destroys the kavod. And that kills her, literally. So too, when he puts her in first place, he creates that kavod. He gives her that respect, that kavod that she needs for her soul. That's what she needs. She needs that kavod. It's not for nothing that a husband and wife are a metaphor. a metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah. Right, that we come together, husband and wife, Hashem. The male part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the female part, which is the Shekhinah. Everything is a reflection in the physical world and the spiritual world. When we're respecting our wives and giving her kavod, we're really giving kavod to the Shekhinah. Which is why when there's Shalom Bayit, the Shekhinah dwells in your home. Right? You're creating down here a representation of the bond that needs to be also in Shemayim. So our job is to make sure that our wives have kavod all the time. Not to ever destroy it. And to make sure that we're continually giving that kavod, making sure that she has it. So on page 64, Zahirut Hesechadat. Be careful, you might forget. You might get distracted. Kol shechen otam ba'alim, all the more so, those husbands, she'omrim li'isha shelahem b'peirush, that say to their wives explicitly, shehi mafriya umit vakchim koasim chulei, she'olam lo yeh lahem shalom bayit. So, we were just explaining earlier that the need to put a husband to put his wife in first place, and if he doesn't, he doesn't give her the kavod, and she doesn't have the oxygen she needs. The kavod is her oxygen. So we were in the previous paragraph explaining that you need to, a person needs to give his wife kavod. So now the Rav saying, and kol shekhen, all the more so, a person who doesn't give his wife kavod, and quite the reverse, he tells her explicitly that she's bothering him. He starts arguing with her, he gets angry with her, right? He'll never have shalom bayit. Right? Not only is he not doing what he should be doing, but he's doing the reverse. Ki afilu ba'al tov, even a good husband, im yiflot bata'ut eizo lashon shel kotze ruach lishto, if he will mistakenly express to his wife words of short-temperedness, zeya lelo b'yoker rav, that's going to cost him dearly. And he's going to have to, after this, he's going to have to cancel a lot of plans. His plans. To invest a lot of time and effort, umamon and money, to try and return his shalom bayit. Right? Rabbi Shalom is explaining something which anyone who is married should know in practice, that if we trip up and make a mistake, because we make a mistake, and out of short-temperedness or any other reason, we say something completely inappropriate to our wives, it's not easily fixed. It's going to cost time, money, effort. It's not worth it. Right? If a person does the cheshbon in his head and actually thinks clearly before saying anything, he knows that it really is not worth. Right, a wife that wants the husband to help with, can you take the garbage out? That's a common request of a wife. Happens to be the husband's. Let's be nice to the husband. He's in the middle of a difficult tosfot. Or more accurately, he's reading the newspaper, whatever he's doing, right? And he says to his wife, I'll do it later, I'll do it in a minute, I'll do it in 5 minutes. Let me just finish this. Oy vavoy. For the sake of gaining an extra 5 minutes, he's now lost plenty more, right? It's going to take him several hours to try and recover that situation, if he's lucky.
Wait, so I'm allowed to stay in 5 minutes?
No. He's allowed to say it. Everyone's got free choice. He's allowed to say to his wife, you do it. Right? He can say what he wants, but that person has to know what the consequences. Has to know the consequences that his wife sees that the newspaper or the tosfot is more important than her. Oy vavoy. Right? Because it's not. Even if it's tosfot. Even if I'm teaching a class tomorrow, and I need to learn this for the class, it's not for me. There's going to be four or five guys there, 20, Bezrat Hashem, guys waiting there, and I'm not going to be able to teach them, right? So I actually do need to just give me 5 minutes to finish. No?
It's not about her.
Ah, in your eyes, it's not about her. But in her eyes, it is about her.
Well, when you say nicely, sorry, I'm just finishing this sentence with the first couple, and I'm going to bring out the garbage.
So it would depend. If I'm saying, I just finished this sentence, I'll be with you literally in 3.5 seconds when I finish the sentence, Yofi, maybe, I'm not saying for sure, but maybe you're okay. But if the wife feels for any reason that she is not first place means first above everything. First above your rabbi, first above the tosfot, first above everything. Right? If she thinks that she's second to the Gemara, it's a bad place to be. It's not correct. For a start, it's not correct. And Rav Arush will explain in the book, it's not correct. It's not correct. We can't put our Torah learning above our wife. We can't. Even if we think for good reasons why it's a good idea to do that. Our job, he says, he's going to say now in the next coming paragraphs, is to stop whatever we're doing immediately and to jump, to run, to do whatever she says. Why? Because that is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to do that. Hashem wants me to close the Tosfot right now, in the middle of the line, and do what my wife wants. He doesn't want me to do what I want. What I want to do is I want to finish the... Right, that's my selfish will. And the harder thing is probably to go and have my life. That's exactly what... That's my Avodat Hashem right now.
Shows come up when you jump out.
So stage one is actually knowing that. Stage two is doing it, jumping, and stage three is actually doing it from here, and not doing it from here. Because there is a stage whereby I only do it from my head, right? But I do it from my head and not from my heart, right? Meaning I read the book and I hear the idea, and I realize that, you know what, I do that, and my wife doesn't like it. You know what, maybe I'll try not to do that in the future. I'll try and next time it happens, and my wife says to me, can you just go and buy some eggs, we're out. And I really don't want to do it right now, but like half an hour is really good for me. But you know what, all right, I'm going to do it, because Rav Shalom said, and I saw what happened last time, I'm going to do it anyway. Fine, I'm coming, I'm doing it, I'm going right now. It's still not there, because I'm not yet doing it, because I'm now doing it because I'm trying to get out of the punishment that I see that I'm going to get in the neck if I don't. So I'm doing it, but it's not coming from the best place. For sure, it's better than not doing it, right? But I come home, my wife is still not completely happy, because she knew I only did it because I'm looking for an easy life, right? Yeah, fine, I'll do it. Just, you know, don't give me the ear bashing. I'm out of here, I'm doing it. But to do it from joy, that she knows that I'm delighted to do it for her. And there's nothing I want more. I'm waiting, I'm actually reading my Tosfot, waiting for you to just come and tell me to do something. Right? And to show you, so I can show how much I love you by jumping to do it quickly. Then that's Shalom Bayit. Then he really does value me. He really does put me first place above everything else. She's very happy. Yes, I'm probably looking a little bit concerned.
Well, it's a funny thing. It's, you do these things immediately, and you see how it affects your life. And you might tell yourself that, whatever I'm studying, it's really more important than anything. But you're getting paid for it. Your wife is so happy that you did it for her immediately. The next time she's going to see you studying Tosfot, she said that after you finish your Tosfot, go up and dump it and keep that guy.
And do you know why that is? I mean, what is spiritual? Hashem is looking after you. But the practical answer is, she doesn't need to test you anymore. She now sees that you put her in first place, so you tick that box. Because she's looking at you studying your Gemara, and she's thinking to herself, maybe consciously, subconsciously, that Gemara is more important than me. Right? He put it right. So consciously, she's now going to say, let's see if that's true. Can you just help me with something? And I don't know, right? And now she sees that you close the book and run. She said, top, I'm first place, I don't have to worry anymore. So when I see he's got the Gemara, I don't have to feel like it's a competition. I know I'm coming first, and therefore I don't need to tell him to put that. No, the same with anyone else, with his mother, with his sisters, right? He's always on the phone to his mother or whatever. If she knows that she's above your mom, whoever else, she's not going to start putting pressure on you. Like, mum wants us to come over for Rosh Chodesh, for Rosh Hashanah, whatever, Pesach, right? And your wife's like, no, I don't. Right? Because why? You'd rather go to your mum than be at home with me, right? For the test, you're now there in competition. But if she knows that she's at home, I'd rather be you, I don't want to be there, whatever you want, if you want to be here at home, I'm going to tell her straight away, no. Right, for sure, just tell me what you want. And you mean it. She said, no, totally, if you want, fine, let's go. Because she doesn't feel threatened now.
If you have the same thing that you do it, because she's representing the Shechina, does it take away from it? Or no, I don't care about the garbage and all that. But if it's a test from Hashem to see if I how I relate to Him, that soul is representative, and why?
So it's a good question, because actually all of our mitzvot are in that way. So all of the mitzvahs, there's a level that we should be doing them only because Hashem said. But having said that, there is a part of the fulfillment of that mitzvah, which is making sure that the person who's on the receiving end feels good. So for example, if I come to visit the sick, I'm only visiting the sick because Hashem tells me to. I don't care about the sick person. But if I go and visit a sick person as if I don't care, and I'm only doing it because Hashem asked me to do this, I'm missing the point completely. I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. It's not what Hashem wants. So there's a both are true, that I need to have that thought. I'm not, and even to the extent that I'm not doing it for the sick person. If I go and visit a sick person because he's sick and he's miskend, poor bloke, and I need to look after him, and if someone told me, you know, it's a commandment to do that, I'd be like, I don't care. It's not relevant to me. It's a commandment. He's sick. I'm doing it because he's sick. So I've missed it completely. I'm not doing it. I need to also be doing it because Hashem told me to do it. If I miss that bit out. There's a whole discussion whether or not what value that has. Because why am I doing it? There's a mistaken idea that I have compassion that exists outside of Hashem. And it's not most, if not 99.99% of the time, is because I'm doing it for my own gava. Right? There's a very fine line, there's a very fine ability, if at all, to say that someone does anything good that's not connected to Hashem. Anything good that's not connected to Hashem, like people who go out and do good in the world, they're good people, they do good, but they're not, right? There's a good understanding. I can't say for sure, but there's a good understanding that it's all the sake of their own kavod. Doesn't matter how much it's dressed up. Lying to themselves, lying to other people. It's very, a person can't be completely altruistic that's not connected to Hashem. It's not doing it for Hashem. Because then you're doing it. Who are you doing it for? I'm doing it for the goodness of the world. People say it, and it's hard to contradict them. But often they're kidding themselves. I might even think that, but if I went dug deeper and deeper, and it was tested, then top. But that's not the subject, because it's something that it's hard to discuss and argue, because it's very very touchy subject, and it has no proofs either way. I can argue that that's not true, and people say no, it is. So, anyway, it's worth considering. Certainly, that's what I've heard from great teachers. Okay, Yofi, let's get back into our into our text over here. So, what are we saying? So, right, if he doesn't put his wife first, he's going to suffer. He's going to try and recover the situation. He's going to spend a lot more time and effort than he just went and did whatever he needed to do. First of all. ואחרי הכל, אם יצליח לשכנע אותה, and after everything, if he does, sorry. ואחרי הכל, ספק אם יצליח לשכנע אותה, להאמין שוב שהיא במקום ראשון אצלו. And even if he tries, it's doubtful, there's a doubt whether or not he's going to be able to convince her that she is first place. Right, if I say to my wife, I'm just finishing this tussle and I'll do it later, and she gets all upset with me, I now have to try and convince her, no, you are first place. Sorry, I wasn't thinking. I was doing it because I needed to get out of the way and I wanted to spend time with you and focus on you. And I had to go through all that. It's doubtful whether she's going to believe me. Who says I'm going to convince her? Nimsa bishvil regra echad shel kotzer ruach. So it turns out for one moment of short temperedness, It turns out that he's going to need a lot of time and effort to try and fix it. In short. Lachen nekuda zu shel makom rishon shuichach harbe avodah shel hafnama. Right? Turns out that this point, this understanding of to put a wife in first place, needs a lot of contemplation. Hen al yidei shinun, hen al yidei tefila, whether through shinun,
practice,
and right, both in practice and in prayer. Right, to get this right, a person needs a lot of prayer and a lot of practice. Right, because it's not straightforward. Right, sometimes I am in the middle of something and I don't realize, and Yofi, I'm not going to be going to get this right straight off. It's not so simple. In order that it's chazek in my heart, that it becomes second nature. Because I'm not going to be thinking all the time when my wife asks me to do something, oh yeah, right, I need to put you in first place, I need to drop this. Unless it's ingrained in me as something that I mamash have a ratzon to do, I want to do it, then there's a chance I'm going to forget. Right, unless it's engraved into a person's heart that his wife is at the top of the ladder, and is the highest importance. But often, meaning that even if it's a case that his wife is bothering him, at a time when he's really busy in the middle of something, right, you're building the sukkah, you're standing with one foot on the ladder, balancing precariously as you try and put the stach on that's fallen off for the 15th time, right? Even at that critical moment, and she calls to you from the kitchen, can you reach the cookery book down off the top shelf for me? I can't reach it. Right? What are you going to do? No, I'm in the middle. Give me, right? Even at that point, he needs to be prepared. Give miyad, and to respond immediately, bratzon, with desire, with genuine desire, not just a fake, right? La'azov hakol bishvil ishto, to leave everything, right? Fine, I drop it, I'll come back to it. To leave everything. But matzavim elu mitzgaleh emet, at these times, then he reveals the truth, right? Am I really putting her in first place, or is it just convenient? Am I doing it for convenience, or if she's really in first place, it doesn't matter what I'm in the middle of. Im ha-ba'al lo mukhan l'chach, if her husband is not prepared to do this, who lo hechdir la'atzmo amok l'lev, and he hasn't engraved deeply in his heart, she'ishto lifnei hakol, that his wife comes before everything, be'emet, really before everything, hazei ein safek, she'mitok til dato ha'gdola, hu yivateh et then there is no doubt that because he is tied up in the middle of something, he's going to express some sort of lack of patience with her. Right? And then afterwards he's going to have to work a lot to fix it. So he's on the ladder, balancing with one foot, trying to get this slap on for the 15th time, and he doesn't want to come rushing into the kitchen right now. So if I answer with any trace of impatience in my voice, yeah, not now, not, you just give me 5 minutes, right? Any impatience, then it's not deeply engraved in my heart, and then I'm going to have to pay, which is good. Because what we're learning here is that Shalom Bayit is not a 5 minute solve it question, right? That you can learn Shalom Bayit in 2 minutes. This is the principle, this is what you're going to do, and you just go and do it and find it with Shalom Bayit. No. Shalom Bayit means we're here for 120 years. And if you got married at 20 years old, then you're here with your wife for 100 years, right? You've got stuff to work on for 100 years. It's not that after 5 minutes of marriage, you've solved everything and everything's smooth and it's all working, right? What are you going to do for the next 99 and a half years? Right? There's work to do, and it's not going to be easy. Oh, but that's good. No, we don't want that. We won't be here. We wouldn't have a purpose in life if everybody solved all the problems in 5 minutes. Yitiram Yikan, more than this. Hamibchan Amiti Shal Adam, the main test, the true test of a man. If he, his actions are l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven, im kavanot tahorot, with pure intentions, or im oseh oto l'shem tavato, or if he does it for his own desires, you know, to fulfill his own needs, im hu otseh l'gadel et shem Hashem, or l'shmo shelo, whether he wants to glorify, increase the name of Hashem, or his own name. In what said lahavot the kavod of makom, if he wants to increase the kavod of Hashem, or lahavot kavod atzmo, or his own kavod. In maseh maasav mitoch gaava, if he performs his own actions out of gaava, or mitoch anava, or through humility from pride, or through humility from arrogance, or through humility. Ta'ava betza, or emuna, through a desire for gain, or through emuna, b'chule b'chule. Right? Why is he doing it? So that's what we were speaking about. Right? The true test is the reason why he was doing it. Am I doing this just to have an easy life, a quiet life? If I don't do this, she's going to get upset with me. Or am I doing it for good reasons? And that's why Hashem gave us that, those 120 years. To work on it, to get it right. You're three. Sometimes I do stuff, I'm very happy, I had a good day, I'm relaxed, I came home, and my wife says to me, do you know what, do you mind making me a cup of tea? Delighted, love to make you a cup of tea. Roughly, it's good, it's a true, pure intention. And other times, with my one foot dangling over the edge of the sofa, my intention's not so, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I hit myself with the hammer 5 times already, right? I just want to get this thing finished with so I can go to bed. My intentions aren't so pure. So it's not one size fits all. It's not that I have pure and holy intentions all the time. Right? And we're speaking amongst adult males, and if you're not adult males, switch off now. Right? But also, we should know that we have impure intentions for other reasons, not because we're angry or upset or we're, but because we want something from our wife. And being married men, we don't have to go into what that is that we want. So we want to keep her happy. That's not a pure intention, unfortunately.
What's the intention supposed to be?
Just stand the Shem Shammai without any thought of gain. Without any thought of gain to myself. No gain that if I do this, she'll make me a cup of tea next time. If I make her a cup of tea, no thought of gain that she'll be nice to me and she'll give me a back rub.
Positively, what intention is supposed to be, Hashem Shammai, or to make her?
The true intention is that I'm fulfilling Hashem's will. There's no greater happiness than the happiness of the mitzvah. The happiness of doing a mitzvah. So the happiness of the mitzvah right now is I'm making my wife happy. I'm sameach eshto, right? I'm doing chesed. I'm giving my wife respect. I'm listening to my rabbis. They're all mitzvot.
This is all the intention was supposed to be.
I think so, Lee Neder. That's what I say the intention is, and which is I think that is a higher intention than I'm just doing it for her. For her, that I'm doing it for her without a connection to her. Right? The idea we were talking about before. I'm doing it because it's a good thing to do for her. It makes her happy, and it's good to be happy. Yet, I don't need to. If I'm doing it to make her happy, with the understanding that making her happy is what Hashem wants, then it's a much higher level than I'm doing it to make her happy because that's what good people do.
No,
people like to make each other happy.
Your example would be cool for you.
Yeah.
It's also to make the person happy. It's part of the mitzvah.
But I have to know the reason why I'm doing it is, and the reason why I'm happy is not because I made them happy. if I'm doing it because if I get my joy, my fulfillment from seeing that they're happy,
that's wrong.
Because look what I did. But if I'm getting my joy from the fact that I know I'm doing Hashem's will, that's great. So where's my happiness coming?
Yeah,
for happiness in mitzvahs. Yeah, the Arizal said he only got to his level because he for the happiness he had in doing the mitzvahs. Sure, all mitzvahs. He didn't stop himself being happy just because it was Adam Lachavirah. Right? He was very happy when he got to do a mitzvah. Right? To give tzedakah to someone, merited to give tzedakah. Not because the guy was really happy and he thanked me very much. Okay. Abraham, tell me.
Hold on.
Where's the mitzvah? Where do we have the Sameh Ishtar is a mitzvah. A man should cleave to his wife and then have to write.
Because here we talk about the tachlit is to get to know Hashem.
Yes. Life. Okay, go on.
He kind of infers in that page. I was looking at trying to find them where it says the mitzvah about that you have to, be nice to your wife. The whole thing is to get to know Hashem.
Okay.
Now we can't.
That's the higher level. The highest level to get to know Hashem.
To get to that level, we have to get by our wives.
I don't know if I describe it that way, but okay, let's say.
The wife can vary. It's sometimes an obstacle to certain things that we can do. Now, one of the ways that we don't get over this, we can change our life in a way to be more helpful in our search for Hashem is through Shalom Bayit. And now what he seems to be doing in this book is teaching us ways to not to get around your wife might be divorcing her or ignoring her, that or ignoring won't help. We had that today. It's by finding ways of pleasing her that are good, are things that she needs and we need.
I don't know if we need it. Why do we need it? We need to do it. All of this is to work on my midot. Hashem gave me a wife so that I work on my midot.
Right.
Pretty much. Bottom line, that's the only reason I got married. Right? To do Peru and Ravu, I can do Peru and Ravu without being married. I need the wife living with me 24/7 for that function to occur. So why do I have the wife as a connector? Right? Because she needs to push my buttons and rub me the wrong way continuously all day, every day, so that I fix all those problems. So I have no buttons left to press. So that all those midot are straightened out. If I don't have someone with me 24/7 pushing those buttons and making me upset, angry, impatient, I'm never going to work on all of those things.
Yeah, but if we try to do all the please, and put her in number one, she's liable to just love that.
No, she is a tool of Hashem. She is a shaliach, pure and simple from Hashem. She is Hashem's mouthpiece. Whatever Hashem wants me to do, the woman is programmed to be that perfect shaliach. So when I've got the message, it all stops, right? That button no longer gets pressed. There's nothing left to press, right? I fixed that problem. I fixed that meter. Hashem is running the whole show. The wife isn't. The wife is not simply there. And if I get this wrong, and if I give her too much attention, she's going to walk all over me, and I'm never going to ever get to go to David in the minion again.
The opposite. She's not going to walk all over.
Nachon. Why? Because Hashem is using her to fix my midot. If I fix my midot by doing these things. Why am I putting her in first place? Hashem doesn't care if she's in first place or not, it's irrelevant. But what is relevant is that I'm not in first place, that I'm not putting my own desires in first place. How do I cancel myself? How do I love her tail on what I want? By putting her in first place. She's the object that comes along to displace me, to get rid of my ego. I want to learn Torah, I want to read the newspaper, I want to whatever it is. Right? And how do I get rid of that? I'm not going to give that up for anyone. You are for your wife. Your wife is going to come above all the things you want to do. Everything you want to do, you're going to have to cancel. Why? Because that's a really good meter to work on. To cancel yourself for everything. How do I get that to happen? I bring in life. Life is going to be the object of the cancellation procedure. And she's going to make sure you do, because if you don't, you're going to get it in the neck. It's a feedback process. Right? Because Hashem doesn't work along the lines of, be a good person, if you don't, I'm going to strike you down, right? The feedback is not direct, it's indirect. And the wife is the indirect feedback process. You need to work on this midah. You need to work on this midah of levatelling yourself, of not just thinking about yourself. Right? A wife is the... right? We should know, if we don't already know, that the wife comes along to tell us, stop thinking about yourself for a minute and think about me. Right? And that's our greatest... Right, most 99% of what we're talking about here is to stop thinking about myself and start thinking about someone else apart from me. Fantastic.